Psalm 16, verse 11, says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I looked up the word happiness, and happiness depends on what's happening in our life. The root word for hap means luck or circumstance. So a better rendering for happiness is this: I'm happy today because things turned out right. When it comes to joy, joy is different. Joy is inside. Joy is a choice to rejoice. You can choose it regardless of the circumstances that you face. And as Christians, we need to be the most positive people on the planet. There's a lot of things going on today, but our King is soon to return. And since that is true, we have a hope that goes beyond the world. When it comes to joy, patterns matter in our life. If you promise somebody you're going to meet them at a certain time and your pattern is true, they can expect it. But if a pattern in our life is sketchy or changes from day to day, it's hard to focus in on that. It's hard to say that that will come to pass or will actually do what we said. In Titus 2 verse 7 says, "In all things, show yourself a pattern of good works in doctrine, integrity, reverence, incorruptibility." Today more than ever, Christians need to be joyful because our King is soon to return. And with that, we have a hope. We have a hope that goes beyond the grave. We have a hope that the world doesn't have. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God from our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have access into His grace by faith, now in which we stand. We rejoice in hope and glory in God." In Romans 12, verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer." When we start to look up, our redemption is drawing more near than ever. There was a word this morning at an early morning prayer that God's getting His bride ready. It's like the dress is being knit, and soon we'll be wearing that. Well, we need to be ready, church. We need to start looking differently than the world. We need to shed the worldly clothes, as it were, and have that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The enemy will come and attack you in your mind and in your emotions. It's going to happen. But how we respond to that's what's important. Do we respond in faith? Do we respond in joy? Do we respond according to the Word of God? Or do we allow circumstances to dictate how we are? Now, happiness is dependent on what we're going through. We're happy because of this. What about joy? Can we be joyful even today? Now, I don't thank God for sickness or disease. I don't thank God for pain or any of that. But in the midst of all that, does our circumstance only dictate our joy? If it does, we need to work on that. We need to change that. There are times in our life that we have defaults, that when we're going through a certain thing, that's the way we respond. We have a certain action, maybe an attitude, maybe you respond in anger or fear or whatever. The truth is that those patterns need to become a pattern of good works. And that takes time to change a pattern. It took time to get to that place the first way in patterns. After that, to change it requires effort too. But I believe every pattern in our life can change, and can change for the good and the glory of God. Hope means this: it's not a wish or a want. It means confident in Christ's power and confident that God's able to do it. His promises are true. We need to start trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding. There are too many today that are giving instructions that lean on their own understanding. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways, and He said He would direct our path. Even today, as we navigate through all this goofiness going on, all this sickness all over, God can still direct our path. He can navigate us away from the rocks and keep us on that place. That's why a lighthouse is good on a pier, because you can see where that edge is. You can see where the rocks are. You can see where the shoreline is. It also gives hope, too, that it can penetrate the darkness. Well, I believe that he is light and that he's able to penetrate the darkness. When it comes to God and our purpose and in our lives, listen, every situation can work out for God's good and glory. There's nothing that we can't overcome. In Romans 5 verse 3, it says only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. The Apostle Paul went through so many things, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead outside of Lystra, a night and a day in the deep, got beaten with rods, got whipped. He understood all the physical pain that came with being obedient to Christ. Well, today there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people that are suffering. But through all that, we can work through. The Greek word for suffering means distress. It means to be put under pressure. Trials, trouble, problems, all these bring stress. But Paul said this, in everything I've learned to rejoice. Notice that the pattern in his life was, man, I can rejoice in all things. Because everything here is so temporal. All this that we're experiencing today is temporal. And let me make this statement. In 100 years from now, if we all pass on into glory, will we really, really just look at this time and say, man, it was so fleeting. Did we really put so much pain in this time, so much effort in things that were really didn't matter much? When our perspective changes, so will our reactions. We need to start looking, saying, suffering produces what? Well, in suffering and struggles, we still can be productive. Problems have a purpose. There's no doubt about it. But that purpose is one to bring us down, but also can bring us change. Paul said, listen to me, in perseverance, character, I go from character to hope. Each area is progressive. If we can take this time we're living in and grow spiritually, we'll be far better people. We'll be able to go through more things than ever. And then when truly cataclysmic events happen, as you read in the book of Revelation, cataclysmic events are going to come upon this planet. When I look at those scriptures, I still have hope because the word is written. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It also is a revelation of things that will shortly come to pass. That as a believer, we don't have to be ignorant of those things. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. But today more than ever, is joy your portion? I want to ask that question. Can you look at it, or are you still in that arena of just happiness that's depending on what's going on around? I know a lot of people are still on furlough in work. I know some people that are even looking for work today. I understand the needs that are around. But our disposition matters. As believers, it matters. Can somebody tell that we're Christians? Can somebody tell that we serve a new Lord, Jesus Christ? Or do we fit in with the world? Is our conversation the same? Is it no different than the next person that's in the streets or really just an unbeliever? Can they tell that Christ is in us, the hope of glory? To me, Jesus always responded in faith. We need that today. We need Christ in us, the hope of glory. No matter what Jesus faced, and believe me, when I read scripture, he faced more things than any of us ever will our whole entire life. People try to catch him at his words. People try to speak that he was illegitimate. People try to downgrade his character. People try to say God wasn't his father. You name it, Jesus experienced it. So if you've ever been personally attacked, maybe your character's been attacked, or somebody's spoken evil of you, Jesus understands that also. And yet, he also went to the cross, suffered the greatest pain ever for us. But notice that was the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's so important that his situation that he was in would bring sadness. Let's face it, pain is hard. But he looked past that. He looked and said, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm giving my life as a ransom for many, that many would come to know me as Savior and spend eternity with him. God loves it that we can spend eternity with him where he's at. As you read in Psalm 16, verse 11, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When we look at Scripture, do we really believe the joy of the Lord can be our strength? Well, when I see what's going on today, I'm more joyful than ever because I know time is short, that soon He's going to return. He's going to bring His church unto Him. That brings me great joy. Now, I still live in this world. I still want to reach this world. I still want to go through things and help people that are hurting. But we have to have a disposition that God will work it out. When I realize that Christ is in me, that the power that I now have is not my own. It comes from Him. It's like living water that flows through our life. Whenever I go through situations, I know this for a fact, that God will take us through. Even when the flames seem high, that God will work it out. As it says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, "You'll walk through the fire and shall not be burned, nor shall the flame come and scorch you." I love this. When you have a water of life in you, you can quench every fiery darts of the wicked. You have a shield of faith saturated with oil, quenching every dart. Personally, inside and out, you can take every negative comment, everything that people have spoken against you, and trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. I've realized over the years, when you spend time with the Lord, you have a great time, a great spiritual experience, a great move of God, it seemed like the enemy is always waiting to attack you, always waiting to put a word in there, a little jab as it were. There are times that he'll wait for that area. He'll speak a word that he knows will bring crippling effect upon. But you have to look at it and say, you know what, I'm not going to chew that harvest. So what those words came out, I couldn't stop those words. But what I heard, I can deal with it. I can say, nope, that's not my portion. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I realize that joy needs to be there, I realize that his soon return, to develop, I like this, an attitude of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, like I shared earlier, I don't thank God for sickness. I don't thank God for cancer or any of that. All that came because of sin. God's not the author of that. That's a reaping and sowing effect of being disobedient. But when Jesus came, he came to break that curse. So the curse of the law has been broken. That means what the curse had against me now, God can reverse that area. I now need to walk in it. As the church, we need to walk more in God's promises. Next time you become critical, take a good look at it. See, where is that coming from? Is that from that old fleshly nature that we still have around? What's that new nature speaking? Start to speak that. Start to work through that area. Because when you get saved, when you become born again, you still have your old fleshly carnal nature, but you also have the nature of Christ in you. Paul said it's like a battle. There's a battle going on, and it's still real. No matter how long you've been saved, you still have a flesh nature. And it's amazing how quick we can revert back to that fleshly nature. But God wants us to walk in the Spirit. If we do, we start to deal with all the effects of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, even the thoughts in the flesh. We can start to bring those captive. I know our minds are powerful. They are. But when we work that mind and the Spirit together, man, there's a powerful thing there. My mind needs to be renewed. If I have a new spirit and old thinking, it's still a struggle. But if I have the mind of Christ with the Spirit of Christ in me, there's nothing that cannot be done. I believe that God has a solution for every problem we'll ever face. I believe that he has a way to get us through no matter what happens today. Well, we need to walk in a church. If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip over to Psalm 28 for a minute. Psalm 28. I want to look at verse 7. Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." Gratitude is a healthy emotion, one we need today. When we realize that all this is temporal, that the church needs to arise. If you knew that, hey, the marriage supper is coming soon. That's a great thing. I've done a few weddings in my day, and I know that when a bride really loves her husband, she can't wait for that day. She's excited about it. She speaks well of it. She speaks well of the groom. She's ready to go. Well, we need that also. We need to speak well of our Savior. I don't believe the church is going to limp out in these last days. I don't see that at all. I see the church in the end being strengthened, being more stronger than ever. Well, we need to be that. That's us. The Lord didn't want us born 2,000 years ago. He wanted us born now. So what we have to overcome, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's all real today. We have to overcome that. But when it comes to gratitude, well, there are times in our flesh nature, we're negative. We're naturally negative. But when gratitude sets in, when we have a new spirit, it has a healthy emotion starts to come through. Do you know joy and laughter does good like a medicine? That's a good thing. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. I do a lot of things that are goofy. The truth is that I enjoy those things. I laugh at stupid humor. I do like that. But the truth is that we need that. We need to start to cultivate that inner joy, that joy that the Lord has given us, that I want that to radiate out. We always hear this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, there isn't any joy today. No wonder there's no strength today. Let's change that. Today's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Whatever you're doing today, I want you to just to have a time to rejoice. If you're watching this at home or picking it up in your vehicle or watching it later, listen, have a time to rejoice. It's something as believers. Let us shout a praise. Wherever you're at, that place where you live, bring forth a praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It'll do you good. By cultivating that inner joy, we start to walk in a new level of strength, a new level of power. But it also changes our outlook. Whenever I just tune in with the news or situations, within 5 minutes, you can become defeated. You can hear about everything that's so negative and wrong. But what about what is right? What is true? What is holy? What is just? The Bible says, think on these things. Well, I boil it down. I need to think on Christ. How about, Lord, you're able to help. We can criticize, but can we pray? Can we stand against this? I believe God's able to move this virus out of the land too. All the unrest that's going on, I believe God can help. I really do. But God wants us to come together in that time of prayer to seek Him, to walk in His ways. That means individual as well as corporate. Well, if you like getting up early, 7 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. We're here from 7 to 8 to pray. We have a good crew coming out seeking the Lord. You're welcome to come out and join us. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says this, I have shown you every way. In labor, you must support the weak and remember the words the Lord Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When it comes to giving, giving produces a joy. Well, you can give in prayer. Prayer is powerful. You're praying for somebody, that's a giving statement. That's a giving way. But also meeting the needs of others. There are times we become hoardish or selfish. But by giving out of what we have, joy can come. And you can make somebody's joy complete. When I look at Jesus in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, he says this, let us give as one purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if I'm doing this with a purpose in my heart, then I'm already walking in it. I'm walking today. I'm going to purpose in my heart. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not going to let external circumstances become internal in me and bring me down. Now, I've faced some pretty situations, pretty bad ones in my own personal life, and I'm here to say, God will see you through. He won't forsake you. He will not leave you. There are times it may work out different than what you thought. Sometimes we put God in a little box and he's got to do it this way. But I found out the Lord always does the best for each believer. There's no doubt about it. We live in a sin-cursed world, and there are times that we get a cause and effect. Sometimes if we're disobedient, we're going to reap some of this. The Lord tempers the harvest, but it's still a true fact. But we have to pray, Lord, I want to set my heart on you to grow in your ways. And if you'll do that and the patterns change, soon you'll be able to reap from the Spirit. And when you reap from the Spirit, it's joy and peace, full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus made this statement in Mark 9, verse 35. He called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, let him become last or a servant of all. They were debating on who would be number one in the kingdom. Lord, let me sit on your right and your left. And Jesus said, it's not mine to give, but it's appointed to by my Father. But if you want to be great in the kingdom, learn to be a servant. Learn not to say, hey, I'm going to be the first in this arena. No, I'll take that second seat, that last seat. I'll prefer others better than myself. That truly shows that you're content in who he is. It also shows that you've gotten victory in your life. You're not striving to be number one. You're not trying to prove yourself to everyone. You're just walking in it. And somebody who knows about the things of the Spirit will recognize that. I've seen it when it comes to our seasoned saints, our elderly saints. Many times they're not speaking a whole lot of words. They're just walking in that character. Because they've lived this life. They've seen what's there. But now they want to show forth what Christ is in him crucified. When it comes to service in our Lord, do everything without grumbling or complaining. This fulfills the word of Christ. When we know Jesus is going to return soon, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about reaching out to those around us. Jesus said this in Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over God with those who repent of their sins, or one who repents of his sins. Notice that even in heaven, angels rejoice over a sinner who comes to know him. Joy. Can you imagine being at the throne room of grace? Being at the very throne of God, worshiping, and then you hear word that somebody you prayed for while you were on this planet just got saved. That'll bring angels rejoicing. That'll bring heaven rejoicing. That brings joy to the Father and the Son. That's reaching out in that arena. Well, we need also. I know a lot of people are quarantined. I know there are a lot of people are this or this. We still have to reach out today. We still have to make a difference. We just can't say, hey, this virus has taken us all down and we can't get victory. No, there are harvests of souls today to reach. I believe personally people are starting to look around. They're starting to realize that there's more to this than really what's going on today. There's more to life than this. Well, it's an opportunity for the church to arise and shine. When I look in Scripture, I see a pattern example that in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were, God put a hand of protection over. In the world, the plagues were there. And notice the in-between was the true prophet of God, Moses. Well, we need that also, that God can bring a true protection over his house and his people, that in the world there can be afflicted, and we need a true prophetic word to be the go-between. Well, we need some thus saith the Lord's today, and that can come from anyone who's serving the Lord. The gifts are spread abroad, but to have character with that, to have some integrity with that, and to really hear from him, we need to pronounce that today. We need some thus saith the Lord's over the land. Thus saith the Lord over this disease. Thus saith the Lord over this unrest. And God's able to bring it if we seek him. There's doom and gloom so much, but the prophets of the Lord need to arise and speak a word of truth. Speak a truthful word in love. That God's able to use those words. Like Daniel, he said, I came for your words. Breaking the power of evil is something that we need to do. Breaking it over our families. Coming against the sickness in the land. As the church, we have power with God. And since this isn't of his will, that's not of his will. I don't see that. Jesus came that you might have life. That's his will. But since sin entered the world, death came by sin. So this has affected the land. It's affected today. But as believers, I want to have a good journey. I want to see that power of the enemy broken. Joy comes when I realize who I am in Christ. And when I realize that he's coming for me. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. That Satan can take an advantage over us. When we know the truth and we live by it, we can break that power of evil. When we break that power of evil, discernment begins to come. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what I like about this is this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Notice that it's able to come against what's spoken today. Bring down every argument against what Christ has. And also bringing every thought to the obedience. If we let our mind wander just for a moment, we can end up in la-la land. We can end up way out there. But if we have a strong heart and a sound mind, we can come against anything. Well, if the Lord can't work in you, it's not because he doesn't want to. It's because we've resisted. Let's yield to him. Let's start saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. The church here, we shouldn't be just on the defense all the time. We need to be on the offense. Now, I know a good offense has a good defense. I understand that. But we also need to attack and tear down the strongholds. We have the shield of faith. We have all the armor. But now we need to go after. Let's go after this sickness in prayer. Let's go after this unrest in prayer. Let's start to stand strong. How about in our own hearts and minds? I know many believers are having attacks in their minds. No doubt about it. But we need to have a strong mind. This is part of overcoming today. That we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. When it comes to Satan, he's a sinner from the beginning, it says in 1 John 3 through 8. But Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. When we realize that we have that same power, man, we can work that out too. Destroy the works of the devil. What are they? He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. How he speaks a lie because the truth is not in him. The only truth you're going to get is from Jesus. Now, he'll speak a half-truth, but a half-truth is still a lie. We need to have 100% truth, and that's what the Word of God can do. As I close with this message, I want each one of us to realize that we can be in Christ and have some joy and strength. We need to realize his return is near. And as a church, we need to rise up and shine, for his redemption's drawing near. I thank you for this time together. I appreciate it. Search the scriptures. You'll find the Lord. You have a great afternoon. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Enjoy my message?